You're now listening to Sleep Time Silver.
Listen up, everybody, as you tune to this podcast. Sleep Time's over, come closer to get the raw facts. Zach Moore's hosting on the show, for sure.
Ladies and gentlemen, sleep time is over. Tonight's guests include DJ Lainsky, Paradigm. Your host this evening is DJ Zach Morris. Welcome to the Libby DeFreeze Show.
An aggressive flame for a small candle.
Not expecting that at all.
I smell your that was flesh
rehearsed.
Burning.
We rehearsed that for at least a couple hours, right, Freeze? Yes, DJ Freeze is here for the special Libby DeFreeze Appreciation Show. He is the Paul Schaefer of the show. I've never used that reference yet, Sky. Yeah. Sky Cameron is here as well.
That's right, I am here.
Sky Cameron is the Gilman.
The Gilman
of the show. And why we're doing on this said day, August 13th, 2019. Lights just flickered there. Something's going to happen. I'm not sure. Why we're doing this Libby DeFreeze Appreciation Show is, as you know, and anyone that has followed the show, is that she is a good, long-time, close personal friend of Sleep Time's Over. She has guest-hosted on several occasions.
That's right.
Right, Sky?
Mm-hmm.
And for the people out there that do not know or have never met her, she is by far the most positive, most supportive. I don't ever see her get angry. I don't know if she does that, you know, privately or what. But she is a very positive, supportive person, very down to earth. You like that pun? And for someone to move from Minnesota, basically by herself, to Hawaii, which is just a feat in itself, and for her to be independent enough to go and find the music scene and go and find, I love this smoke here. This is really going to be affecting something. And for her to go out and venture out to all these said hip-hop events that are going to be male-oriented, dominated, and she just goes by herself independently, that takes a lot. And that takes a lot to find her way in a state that she has no connection to. So that this is a incredible feat that she has done. And for always showing up to people's events, she, as we know, she does. She has a regular job, so she goes to sleep early to get up early to go and swim with the dolphins, which she doesn't do. I don't know why that came up as a thing. But I just said it out of the blue, but she does not, to confirm, swim with the dolphin. But she is a thing. She has all of these things that keeps her busy, where she does the yoga, she works, she's an independent woman that you don't see. She lives by herself and all this kind of stuff. So, you know, you don't see that kind of empowerment and still go out late at night to go hang out at these hip-hop events with all these yahoos that are hanging out, you know, like people, you know, like us and all. So because of that, we honor her for all of the times that she has honored all of these other said acts that she has supported throughout. And I think it's only fitting that this happens to be the exact day that she arrived here on Oahu. So
that's right.
The Libby DeFreeze Appreciation Show. And guess what? She is actually going to be back on this show as of right now. Because Libby DeFreeze, where are you in these lights? Let's go.
Woo!
Libby DeFreeze, where is she? I really can't see anything.
Lots of things to admire.
Namaste.
We're being calm. I'm not going to yell on this show. Okay. I'm going to get into my position for YouTube.
Yeah, don't tear your crotch, man.
Okay, I already did. Okay. Okay. Libby, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for that awesome intro.
Well, you deserve it because it's an amazing feat, and it's 4 years.
That's today.
That's a presidency right there. Actually. So with that said, we're dedicating all of the topics that we do, even such as, you know, Sky, we do the segment called Take Time, Waste Time, as they say. We're going to dedicate that to you with Libby-esque topics. Is this normal talking freaking you out?
It
is. Okay. I got smoke blowing right in my face right now, so I don't know.
It's like you're at a parent-teacher conference or something.
It is. Like, I want to talk to you about your daughter. Okay, so my hand got burnt. So we're going to dedicate Libby-esque topics. So, Sky, I know you have the news of the week in regards to all things Libby.
So, Libby, you're a vegetarian or a vegan?
I am a vegan.
All right.
What is the difference right off
the bat? We got vegan news.
Vegan news, right. So let's establish, though.
I wish I had a sound effect for that, but I don't have a...
Hey, quick, before we jump in, I just want to say, for the hip-hop scene, for all the hip-hop shows that I've gone to, what I really like and what I believe in life is just to not settle for the mundane. And that's what a lot of hip-hop artists here do, like including Paradigm, who's here tonight, Qualified.
Shout out,
Paradigm.
Yes.
And Leanski and Qualified. All, you know, yes. Cedric, Illmatic. They really talk about living to your best, fullest potential.
Yep.
So I stay up late for this kind of inspiration.
It's it's amazing.
And I also brought you a crystal. It's rose quartz. It's from Ginger 13, my favorite store. So rose quartz is self-love. So you can get your sleep, take care of yourself.
Oh, I need that, I tell you.
Show yourself love.
Self-love is too easy a joke to make, but I'm not going to go there.
I have brought my Libby crystal that she gave me as well.
Yes.
That's citrine.
It's here.
Awesome.
That's, what is that, citrine?
Citrine, yeah.
Okay. Can we put that, Sky, can you hand over the crystal here? Let's line up the table with as much crystal as you...
Yours is a lot bigger than mine.
I'll get you more.
So,
it's
Libby,
not the size, right?
Look at the way mine's shaped. So let's...
mine is like
notwithstanding... okay, we got it. Right off the bat, Libby, can you explain to the people that do not know, what is the difference between a vegan and a vegetarian?
Sure. Vegetarians still eat dairy. They don't believe in killing the animals, but they'll eat animal products like eggs and things.
Yes.
Vegans don't eat any animal products.
Right.
Even like wine, certain wine, the way it's filtered, uses gelatin and...
fish plasma or egg whites. Mm-hmm. So
no dairy as well.
Wines that are not vegan.
Okay. So to get that established, all right, so now we have vegan news. So what is the first
vegan
topic?
News. I wanted to find a sound effect for this, but I couldn't find like someone chewing lettuce or
somebody cutting something.
But it seems like the vegan craze is going nationwide, right? Fast food chains are jumping on the vegan bandwagon. So Burger King and Subway are introducing vegan options, as you can see. Aaron, have you heard of this?
No, I have not.
Subway is rolling out their Beyond Meatball sub.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
This is Beyond Meatballs. Meat, right? Yeah. So, Libby, have you heard of these products?
I've heard of it. I haven't tried it yet.
And then Burger King is rolling out the Impossible Whopper.
What makes it impossible, though?
So
why is it impossible?
The difference is the Beyond Burger, the Beyond Meat, is made out of bean protein, rice, potato starch, canola, and coconut oil, and then beet juice is added to make it look juicy, like it's like bloody.
Yeah.
Hey.
That's impossible. So,
and the Impossible Burger is made out of fermented soybeans.
That's really impossible.
And potato protein mixed with sunflower oil and spices, and the fermented soy gives it a meaty-like flavor, supposedly. Oh,
there's a joke in that one, but I defer to you here, Libby. Are you into the fast food aspect now? Would you go to these places because it's a Burger King and walk in there with the said there's meat in there?
Yeah, if I'm in the situation, if I'm out late, you know, and it's like, I got the munchies and I need to get some Burger King. I want a Whopper. Now I have the option to do that.
Right.
But would any self-respecting vegan be going in these establishments?
You'd still go in there.
I think so.
Because we know. I mean, not you're definitely not in this group, but some vegans, they sit on a high horse.
No,
right?
No, I'm
maca
open
maca.
And it's progressive and it's... It's another option, and it's probably more fresh than the meats that's sitting there under a hot lamp.
That is true, yes. So we met before the show to discuss these you know, some said topics of what we're going to talk about tonight. And you brought up a good point about these are not necessarily healthy options. Mm-hmm. They could be vegan, but there's still a difference.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
So that's the thing that people got to realize.
They're pretty high in calorie count. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're pretty high up there. Yeah.
And it takes me to remind that I used to work at Down to Earth, you know, mm-hmm. Hare Krishnas. And there's some pretty unhealthy mother effers. And they like to eat, you know, Snickers and fries, and that's their dinner. And then mm-hmm. they're like, I'm cool.
Yeah.
So that's...
Then they have to have all the vitamins and everything.
And they take all these vitamins, which is, you know, flax oil for the win. But I'm just saying. Yeah. So there's a good point that you bring up there. So what else we got, Sky?
All right. And another increasingly popular thing is vegan pet diets. Do you guys believe in this? So do you agree with vegan pet owners making their pets vegan too? All right. So a study said that vets say that a vegan diet, dogs can adapt to it. Their digestive system can, but it can be harmful and fatal for cats. That's Aaron, you're a cat owner. I know you're never going to put him on a vegan diet, but what do you guys think of this with pet owners putting their pets on?
If the pet owner is vegan, I don't see why not. Mm-hmm. Because like what we talked about with Burger King, and you're a vegan, you're not going to bring in some like, you know, cans of tuna and salt or, yeah, you know, exactly. some meat type of, I don't even know what they put in this cat food. You know, I'm a cat owner, I give them all kinds of shit. But I'm just saying, like, it's going to be non-vegan things. So it makes sense if it's healthy for the cat, if it's okay for the...
Yeah.
I mean, not healthy for the cat. For the dog, it's all right.
For the dog,
the cat cannot digest only that. It doesn't produce the amino acids to break down only
the vegan
non-protein
stuff.
Things. So.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's what it said.
So maybe would you ever get a cat? You know,
I probably wouldn't get a cat, but I do want a dog, and it would be hard to buy meat products or contribute to any kind of animal suffering.
Right, that would be a tough... See, that's an interesting point, because you're a pet owner. See, now we're delving into something. Now I can mm-hmm. talk like this. If you're a pet owner and you love animals, but you're giving the pet animal products, what do you do? God, this is like HPR right now. I kind of like talking this voice. What would you do in that situation? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay, next topic.
All right. Now, is it taking it too far when they've created the vegan milkshake, or AKA the hummus shake? Have you heard of this new thing?
Oh, shit.
The hummus shake is popping up all over the country. It is made from a mixture of chickpeas, tahini, bananas, dates, and almond milk. But it's like sweet hummus.
Oh, you said it right. He was about to say shit.
In a cup.
You said it.
Have you tried it?
No. I just was wondering, have you heard of this?
No,
would you try it?
This is my first hearing of it.
Okay, yes.
But I do drink a lot of milk made from peas, and there's protein extracted from it, and it tastes just like regular milk. You can make all kinds of smoothies the same. So
there's milk made from peas.
Mm-hmm. I would pay money to watch Aaron drink a hummus shake.
It's called Ripple, and it's sold at Target.
It's sold at Target. Mm-hmm. Somebody just yelled for Target. Shout out Target. Why it's not sold at the Whole Foods
it
or
is.
The Down? Okay, all right,
right.
Mm-hmm. There we go. That is.
Shout out Target, yes.
Shout out Target.
Target's from
not
Minnesota.
Not a sponsor.
Target's from Minnesota, that's right. Target Center, Minnesota Timberwolves. Mm-hmm. Gosh, see, it all ties in. Doesn't it feel great, everyone, to
be
part
of this?
Man,
rub your crystal, man.
Am I rubbing what now?
Rub your crystal.
I'll rub it soon to get me to move. Okay, I got it. So what else
now,
we got
did you guys... so I just wanted
Vegan cookie. Hummus shake, yeah.
Would you drink that, man?
Never
I
mind.
Would pay money
get
to
out of
you
here.
Drink
no,
that.
Get out of here with that. Man. It's a bunch of rubbish.
That would be a YouTube clip for sure.
Okay, so this is what's going to happen. We're going to go to this place that's going to have the hummus shake. We're going to go buy the hummus shake. Mm-hmm. It's probably going to be
it's probably $12.
Freaking thing. It's going to be probably like $20, $25, $12. And then we're going to take a couple sips of it, and then we're not going to finish the whole thing.
You don't know that yet. You never tried it.
I'm going to say I'm not a gambling man. But I'm going to safely say we're going to get chips and just dip into it rather than drink it. Okay.
We're going to bring pita chips.
We're going to get the pita chips probably from Target. And then we're going to go and dip it in the hummus shake. And then we're going to be done with it. And then move on and do yoga or something.
Namaste.
What does that mean? And for the people that don't know.
It means the light in me recognizes the light in you and honors it.
Oh, there you go. You see? Anybody saying wow out there? Okay. Okay, what else we got?
I see. All right. Back there.
So, Alicia Silverstone of Clueless fame and a PETA activist.
She was Batman.
Credits her son's vegan diet for an anger-free, harmonious parent-child relationship. She claims her son's calm and patient demeanor is due a lot to his vegan diet. Is there such a thing as meat rage? And if there is, does Aaron have it?
100%.
Clearly. Not tonight, though.
Yeah. These crystals will help you.
See, we're just going to keep this here. Yeah. This kind of looks like a cookie wrapped in... No, okay. I'm just saying it's a thing. I believe it.
I believe in that?
I mean, that's... Okay, well, we go back to the farm-raised...
The kid's not going to fight. He has no strength. He has no protein.
Well, let's not get into the kids of 2019, okay? That's a bunch of hashtag wimps. But I'm just saying, if we take away the protein, if we just give them carbs, still yet... It's a thing that could be a thing because you have the farm-raised versus the free-range situation. And the whole process of that is to keep the cow happy because you don't want the cow to have bad emotions. This is so great.
You're so on board.
Good, we got a cow sample. But so that's the whole thing with the free-range for the people that don't know that buy the meats, which, you know, not this kind of show, but that's why they have free-range versus the farm-raised situation because of the emotional... tie-in. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that you can taste the hate. It's kind of like when you eat Zippies. I can taste the hate.
Taste the hate, right? Vibes. Yeah. When the chicken dry. Yeah, I got it. Yeah, but then
and when you eat more greens, I think you're happier too.
I believe that.
So, as far as the why aren't because of all of these benefits, why aren't more people getting into being? I mean, it's growing.
Mm-hmm. It's expensive.
Is that the growing thing? That is just the convenience factor, the expensive factor. Mm-hmm. You know.
I think traditions too, like there's so many staples in the Hawaiian diet that families have passed down, and it would be kind of hard to go around that. So
European and Asian diets, with the exception of the Indian,
the local people,
has a little bit more tradition in vegetarian gravy, cuisine. Yeah,
Hamburger steak, loco moco, schmoke. Sorry.
But if you have kids, would you encourage them to pursue a vegan diet?
Yeah, definitely.
How long have you been a vegan?
It's like 2.5 years now.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And the whole process is, it's kind of pretty straightforward already. Mm-hmm. You got it locked in.
Yeah.
As far as amazing.
Yep, definitely.
Amazing. What else we got?
All right, vegan rappers, they're out there.
There's a lot of them.
Yeah. There's a lot of them. There's way more than you would think.
Yeah.
And so we're gonna name like who's the best of the bunch of the vegan rappers.
Well, I mean, are we that surprised though? Because a lot of them are always gonna be very spiritual guys.
Right.
A lot of them are going to be of Muslim descent. They're going to be like against pork already. Mm-hmm. So you have that situation.
Right.
It's not that. It's been going on for a while. It's not that.
Well,
prevalent.
One of the most outspoken is the RZA. He has a vegan cookbook.
Common.
And then Master Killa and Killa Priest. Isn't it odd the two guys named Killa are vegans?
They're not killing
the only guy? Is it the only guy?
They're killing humans. They're killing humans. Not cannibalism at all, but
Talib Kweli.
Well, of course,
vegan,
yeah.
Right.
I mean, but then you had like Waka Flocka, you know.
Waka Flocka is. I was saving him. Waka Flocka and YG are surprising.
Was just here, right?
Vegans. Mm-hmm.
Did he make a speech about veganism at the Republic not too long ago?
Both members of Dead Prez, Stickman. And
that
M1.
Makes sense. See, all these. See, you notice all the political guys are going to be very spiritual.
And
it makes sense.
The surprising ones, the CEOs. So you got Jermaine Dupri, vegan. And Diddy.
I can see that.
Oh
right.
I have no idea.
I can see that.
But
Russell Simmons is vegan.
Well, Diddy needs the energy, right? Because he's dating his son's ex-girlfriend. Because
he can't stop, won't stop. That's right.
he's
That's right.
He's dating his son's ex-girlfriend. So Diddy needs that energy, man.
How weird is that? Okay, say Libby had a kid. Let's just fast forward here. and you this kind of situation, would you even entertain something like that? Like, say you had, let's redo the scenario again, Sky. So Diddy is dating his son's
ex-girlfriend. Who's Steve Harvey's daughter.
Oh, my goodness.
How's that?
There you go.
Wow,
it's an island.
Another
curve
in there.
I don't know what the hell he's thinking. Maybe that's, I don't know. That's another I don't know. We're getting stumped on these topics this week. This has not happened. You calm me down, and this is you put a crystal in front of me. I can't say anything.
But on this list of vegan rappers, Libby, who would you want to hang out with the most? Of who
RZA,
we named?
RZA.
The RZA?
Sure.
Oh, hey.
Common.
I'm hanging with Waka Flocka.
Why not Waka Flocka? We can clap, you know, and they can do the round of applause. He did a song.
Yeah, play round of applause. Sorry. No hands. Yeah.
No hands, right?
Yeah.
How do you do not round of applause with no hands?
Oh, once again, DJ Freeze.
Oh, he'll be here all week.
The Kevin Eubanks of the show. Okay, what else we got?
All right, moving on, to peyote news. So peyote is now becoming endangered due to over-harvesting. Have you guys heard of this? Have you ever done peyote?
I have not.
Do you want to do peyote?
Sure.
All right.
What is it?
So peyote is a plant that produces mescaline, the hallucinogenic mescaline.
Mescaline?
Mescaline, yeah.
And what is this for now?
It was used by the Native Americans for religious ceremonies and rituals.
Wow.
So peyote has kind of similar effects as like magic mushrooms.
Okay, so it's a drug topic.
And peyote has been decriminalized in Oakland, California, and in Denver, Colorado. Hey! Oh. So give it
interesting.
Up. Give it up to Oakland and Denver.
Give it up to the Denver Nuggets.
But basically, because of these making it legal, the few peyote farms that we have are being over-harvested, and it's now becoming a little bit more scarce. You can eat it or drink it in a tea, and the effects may last up to 10 hours depending on the dose and the person's tolerance. Would you go on a magic peyote ride, Aaron?
Well, first of all, we're going to have to go to Denver, right? Yep. Is that where we got to go?
Or Oakland.
Or Oakland?
Go to Oakland, man.
I guess we could go to Oakland. I'll go to Oakland. Mm-hmm. Let's go. But then, freeze what?
Let's go.
There you go. Field trip.
Do you think you'd have a dark trip?
A dark trip.
Because you're like
it's like a Netflix show. What does that mean, a dark trip? Well, I mean, being the fact that I've never done anything and to just go and do a field trip to go do this where I don't go past Khalid, which would be a stretch. So I don't, once again, I would have to give that some thought, but I would say bottom line, what the hell, might as well.
Libby, do you feel that Aaron would take like peyote or magic mushrooms and then like break through to the other side?
Definitely.
And then like
where would that side be? Yeah, where's the other? Yeah, side? What's over there?
We don't know.
You'd be connected. P. Diddy's over there.
You'd be sitting like that all the time.
Oh, we're hanging in there on this seat. Enjoy, you two people. Okay.
So, but Libby, you've done magic mushrooms before?
Yes.
Okay, and then that experience good?
Yeah.
And Sky, have you done mushrooms?
I've never done anything like you. I'm a square like you.
Mixed kids for the loss, huh?
We already talked about this. The DARE campaign, the DARE not to do drug campaign, really worked on us.
Well, go figure.
I saw like a after school special where a girl did PCP and jumped out of a window and
that's right.
And yes, you remember this?
That. Yes.
And it scared the shit out of me.
I remember that. Yes. I was watching that as a latchkey child, and yeah, I was enjoying it as well.
I'm thinking about it right now. I'm having dark thoughts right now.
I'll figure about that. Yeah.
Drugs PCP. Are so scary.
PCP was mentioned.
All right.
Drugs are so scary. I like that.
Stop using the D word.
Free, stop using the D.
All right, moving on. You guys ready? Moving on to yoga news. All right. Yoga classes are getting out of control, aren't they?
Hey.
They're getting out of control.
Wow, what a topic. Out of control, the yoga.
So I'm gonna read to you different yoga classes that have been popping up all over across the United States. And you're going to tell me whether yay or nay on these, all right?
Yeah, so I want to get your thoughts on this, Libby.
All right, Libby, weigh in. Are you yoga or Pilates girl?
Yoga.
Okay, yoga all the way. Hot yoga, cold yoga?
Any kind of yoga.
Lukewarm yoga.
We'll make any kind of yoga. Make them hot over here, cold over there.
So a yoga studio in Washington, D.C. has hip-hop yoga classes featuring each class a different era of hip-hop. 90s boom bap, 2000s, electro b-boy music, club hits.
How long is this yoga class?
I guess they're an hour piece, and they have the playlist tailored to each class. You can switch up the music. Does this interest you?
Definitely, yeah, 100%.
Don't you want a serene environment? You got M.O.P. playing, and it's like Annie Up while you're doing the downward dog.
Wow, Annie Up to downward dog.
No, I've done yoga with all kinds of DJs, and it has a totally different effect.
Okay, so despite the music being up-tempo, mm-hmm. it still can be done.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay.
For all the alcoholics out there, there's beer and wine yoga popping up across the country. So L.A., New York,
where
participants actually are doing yoga and in between poses are drinking wine or beer.
Hey, let's shout out our previous guest a couple weeks ago, Beer Lab Hawaii. And in Beer Lab Hawaii University location, they do yoga. So this is going on in July already. So yes, Libby, did you know that? Would you go to Beer Lab to do yoga?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah. Let's go.
Let's sign up on that one. So you got all kind of stuff. All right. What other yogas are we in?
In the Pacific Northwest, they got pop-up yoga clubs where yoga groups will organize and just show up at public places to do yoga, rooftops, public parks, museums, I don't know, in front of your house.
That's considered a weird yoga?
Yeah, this is...
But it's just you're just doing yoga somewhere.
But they're just like, it's like a pop-up, they're just like picking random spots.
They're just going to go walk in there without stopping. Okay, be here.
And they might be there. Here in the highbrow one night.
Okay, bend over. Okay. Okay, I guess so. I don't know the weirdness of that one.
All right.
Maybe you do it randomly.
And then dog yoga. You guys take your dog.
That's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Oh, we got.
How the hell are you going to keep a cat still that long?
Too. There's goat yoga? Mm-hmm.
And then goat yoga. I was just going to mention goat yoga is a thing where they actually are balancing goats on your body while you're doing poses.
All right.
We're going to have to put that picture up while on the...
Okay, you know what? I'm sitting in this weird position. You know, I got smoke on my face. You know, the goat yoga might take me over the edge, okay? Let's take it to the next one. We're not doing any of this.
I thought it was like hip-hop slang, like greatest of all time yoga.
Oh,
like
greatest of all time
goat yoga.
Oh, LL Cool J yoga. Because he's the goat. Okay, all sorry.
Right. Well, we can go to Virginia and do naked yoga. They got full naked yoga.
Of course you're going to do naked yoga. Of course. Of course. Yikes. Hollies love being naked. They want to be naked for the rest of their life.
Is that you? That's a no. That's a no on me. Okay, yeah.
All right. It's kind of yes, dirty. Yeah. Wash before you go.
How about in Canada? They do snoga. It's yoga in the snow.
Oh my gosh, I love it.
See, now,
that's a real thing.
Now we're stretching to all different kind of realms, and then you're gonna go snoga. We're stretching. See, puns galore. And then we're gonna stretch. We're gonna go naked in the snow, and then yoga, and then make a star. What do you call that? Snowflake.
Snowflake. Snow angel.
Minnesota, you know snow, right? I never seen. So is that, how many more we got?
We got one more, and it's Glow Flow Yoga in L.A.
No, you see now, what, Raiders?
Yoga in a nightclub setting with fluorescent body paint, strobe lights, and EDM.
Get them out of here. No, forget it. This will be the most angry I'll be for this week's show.
I love it. We're still bringing the anger out in
I'm going to still not yell, and I'm going to say, get out of here with that.
We don't. All right, Libby, is this cultural appropriation now? Is this taking like what the Indians like, you know?
Probably, but I mean, to each their own. To each their own, and however you want to get balanced.
Well,
at least
we
people
all,
are doing it some kind of exercise as a community.
That's a great answer.
And I got another question for you. Are the majority of male yoga teachers creeps?
Oh, yeah. I mean, come on.
They all look like 50-50.
They're all pervs, right? Yeah.
They look like Jamiroquai.
Right. Shout out Jamiroquai. What's he up to, huh?
He's probably teaching a yoga class.
Jamiroquai had a run for a little bit, right? And then that was it. And then he was used in Napoleon Dynamite, and then done. Career was done. But okay, clearly they're all creeps. Yes, because basically what do they want you to do mainly, right? They're gonna walk in there. They've got this loose fitting clothing, right? And then they want you to bend over, and then that's basically the hour. So they can all get out of here. They're just trying to go get a grab, so they can go take a hike. And what you do is you get a yoga video. You get a yoga video, you learn the yoga, and then you do the yoga freely in the comfort of your own home, right?
Okay. Well,
you don't need these people.
In defense of some of the male teachers,
there's some
on
good
this
ones.
Island,
okay, here
there's
we go.
Some legit
here we go.
Ones.
Okay.
Some
well,
really
if you had
ones.
To ballpark the ratio of,
I would say 50-50.
Okay. Oh. That is a bad ratio.
That's not a pass.
One out of two, you got a
We're
scumbag.
Not passing. Scumbag yoga. Can we do that one? Can we do douchebag yoga? Okay. All right. It's going to be a constant thing because that's the industry. Because you just have these creepers, really. It's really weirdos, and a lot of them are like these chauvinist kind of guys. Right. And it's like that in the fitness industry. So
maybe it could be like a double. Like it's a yoga class, but it also doubles as self defense class.
It could be. Yeah.
Keep the guy off you.
You come up, grab your keys, put them. Yeah. So yeah, it's ongoing. That's an ongoing situation.
So speaking of like millennial. Things here. Pop singer and rapper Mike Posner. You heard of this guy?
Who?
You guys know him?
Yeah, just...
Aaron still doesn't know who this is.
Qualified knows who that is. That's a swerve.
Mike Posner.
I was not expecting Qualified. Uh-huh.
Is,
Qualified.
He's interesting.
Right? He has a song called Cooler Than
no,
Me.
No, see?
Right? Cooler Than he's... Me. He has the Ibiza song, I think mm-hmm. it's called, right? Aaron never heard of him. I mentioned Mike Posner. He's like, who the hell
Who's
is that?
Who's this guy, Posner? Posner is what he is. You know when Posner...
But he's got songs on the Billboard Top 10. Anyways, the millennial singer is walking across the country to promote his new album, A Real Good Kid, basically is walking from Ashbury Park, New Jersey, to Venice Beach.
Where's he at now?
He basically was in Colorado and got bit by a rattlesnake.
See, he was in Colorado because he was trying to get that peyote
that you're talking about. He was trying to get that.
He walked 1,800 miles from New Jersey to Colorado, 1,800 miles. He has 1,033 miles to go from Venice. He says after he recovers from his rattlesnake bite, he will continue on the walk. Libby, what do you think of this?
Would you walk across the country?
Is this something that you would do?
I would.
You would literally walk across the country?
Yeah, I would.
Would you lunge across the country?
Lunge?
Yeah.
Do lunges?
Yeah, what do you think of that?
Yeah.
Just throwing that out there.
Would you?
No, I would not. Sky, what?
Would you drive across the country?
Would I drive across the country? Yeah. I would say, what the hell? Depending on the type of engine we got. I don't want to break down like in the middle of nowhere and then we get taken down by like, you know, House of Thousand Corpses or something.
Yeah.
We don't want those guys to come. The Devil's Rejects or something will take us out. What's the song that was the traveling man? Who sang that back in the day? I know you know this.
Mos Def? What are you talking about? The hip-hop song?
Hey, good street cred there saying that. I'm talking about the Hollywood one from like the 60s.
Bob Dylan?
Close. I'm a traveling man. Who sang that song? He died. Nelson. Was it Ricky Nelson?
Ricky Nelson.
That just came into my head right now. You know why? It's because of this. This is why. I'm thinking about
you're feeling the love.
Stroke that crystal.
Ricky Nelson. Yeah, you know. I'm gonna put that. Smoke is coming like crazy. Okay, what else we got?
All right. Well, speaking of crystals, you just had one in your hand. An article in the LA Times showed a recent survey that millennials ages 25 to 35 are replacing religion with astrology and crystals.
Okay.
Why do you think that is? Is it the individualism that crystals and astrology have rather than group religion? Hmm. What's your thoughts on this, Libby?
Yeah, I think like you said, definitely. It's kind of hard with religion growing up. And I grew up Lutheran and I couldn't really find a way to connect. Mm-hmm. And now kind of being on my own, I feel more connected to the universe and things. Yeah. And crystals are just a reminder of that. But I feel like you can connect to higher power in different ways. So
it's like finding your own individual.
Finding your own universe inside yourself.
More individualism that's happening now. Mm-hmm. That's another growing thing. Along with that, just everybody's just trying to find their own path and not following. So that's another deep issue that we went
Aaron,
back to.
Are you a spiritual guy?
I didn't know if we were going to get back into the deep issues again. I am in the sense of I think that we're not created by science. Like how, you know, you got that science talk and then you got the higher being situation. Right. There is a higher being, but I don't, like I mentioned to Libby, we just don't know who that one person is yet. Are we following a said person that we know as we pass away, which we all don't know what's going to happen? Will we see that said person wherever we go? Or what happens to us after? I think there is a higher being, but we don't know who that is.
Right. So you'd be so it's the greatest agnostic, mystery of them all. Or what would you call yourself, agnostic? Or were you kind of...
Just well, I grew up
spiritual. I mean, me I grew and you were grew up the same. We grew up Christian.
Right, and then when my mom remarried, she remarried a Buddhist. So there was that type of situation of the two different religions. But it they're all going in the same realm of there's a higher being that we all pay respect to. Mm-hmm. But do we know who that said higher being is? And are we definite that when we leave, is he going to be right there waving at us saying, come on in? You know, we just don't know. But I do believe it's that over science. I don't believe like how people are saying, you know, the atoms were created by this E equals MC squared kind of shit. No.
Yep.
There's a higher being to this situation.
You know what voice you're going to have as your soul leaves your body?
It's going to be this voice.
Bruh!
No, you know what? Shout out Cabot. Cabot was just came back from Mauna Kea. So good to hear Cabot is back. Okay.
Well, that's our take time or waste time, unless you guys want
to... Okay, well, before we go, we're just going to have to say that another friend of the show, longtime close personal friend, is here. And it was on his said show, shout out Factor 808, Qualify, Stood, that I first seen you on there. Mm-hmm. And that was the whole evolution of how you became a co-host on this show, because I saw you there. I remember you mentioning that you wanted to be a newscaster, whatnot, that all evolution, but it didn't take place until I seen this gentleman said clip. And I know that you're very, very good friends with a man that we're going to bring out. He's been on here at least 69 times, so we're going to keep it 69, even though, yeah. Qualify, where are you? Because I can't see. Qualify is here. I'm gonna just sit here. I'm not going to even get up because. Watch the fire. Okay. Shoot. I'm going to try and scoot out of this position.
I'm standing because...
Okay. Okay. We're doing this.
Candle.
Okay.
Hold up.
I'm going to...
Oh, okay.
Okay. I'm gonna just be like that. Qualify, what's up, man?
Hey, what's going on, bro? Really want to blow out this candle.
Please.
All right. That looked good for the video. Huh?
Yeah, right? What's up?
Well, if I just want to say that, you know, we were all, this is kind of a reunion.
To the smoke.
Right?
You dig?
See, he's right at home with this. this is a little bit of a reunion because of a said video. Because you're always busy. You got millions of songs, millions of videos. But that one said video that involved the two of us.
Yeah.
And that said video is what?
It's called the LeVar Ball.
Exactly. That's right.
It's called.
Shout out. Big
Shout
Baller
out to
Brand.
The Big Baller.
Ball for bankruptcy.
Stay in your lane.
Yes. So we're in this. In this video, I play a newscaster, sportscaster.
This is true.
You play the sideline reporter.
Correct.
And we're dancing up a storm in this thing.
Yes. You know,
who knows where is this going to lead to? But
look it up, because the best dab ever is featured.
Yeah. That might happen later tonight, but that'll happen. We might get Libby to dance tonight. I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Hashtag robot.
Robot.
What?
It's that's a great move.
That's
She's
how
got
I met
it.
Her.
Right there. You saw that?
That's how we do that. I don't know why I said it like that.
What it do, baby?
That's exactly what I said.
Well, what have you been up to since you were here for the anniversary show? What has been happening since then?
Yeah. Anything? Nah, man. Lots of things. All the things. I have a new project EP coming out with another guy who's here tonight. Guest, Paradigm.
Shout out, yes.
So we got like
there is. Shout out.
He made all the beats. I made all the raps, and
that's how it gets it done. Yeah,
it's what we do. It's called. It's gonna be called Smoking Weed on Mondays.
Oh wow! Monday was only tonight, but
yeah, man.
All right.
If you had in true stoner fashion, I came through a day late. So,
yay, there's a rim shot, Sky. Okay. So if you had to sum up something for Libby, if you had to say, what would be that was pretty late. If you had to sum up, what would be your thoughts on this lovely gal, Libby DeFreeze, being here for 4 years?
Yeah.
A culmination of that. What would you have to say about that?
Well, Libby is definitely one of my favorite people. That I know personally, because I have a lot of favorite people that I don't know. But
shout out the internet,
No,
Instagram.
But she's super cool. Like you said, she's super positive. It's like imagine being friends with the sun.
Oh, lit.
Lit, exactly. Super lit all the time.
I'm old, I'm saying.
Right?
Yeah.
But it's like the sun that you can get close to and give hugs to because it won't burn you.
Yes.
Or like disintegrate
or you. Or get burned.
Yeah, man. So that's Libby DeFreeze, man. She is a ray of sunshine in Hawaii hip hop scene.
Like
and just here, period.
Thank you. I feel the same about you.
Oh, well, thanks.
Yes. She always talks to me about you. She's in love. Everything of qualify is like positive guy.
Yes,
which of course you are.
These are good things.
You're always happy. I mean,
that's true. Right? Except on this new EP, it's really sad. So listen to it.
Oh wow. We'll end with a downer.
You can make a video with crystals.
Yeah, I can make a video with crystals playing the sad music, but the crystals will make me feel better.
Exactly. Hey,
thanks,
there
Libby.
Go. There you go.
See?
There we go. That's how we end the segment.
See?
All right. Let's go. Let's take a...
When's your album dropping?
Yeah.
August 19th. So, that's like six
that's like
days
Monday.
Probably.
Now.
Right. Yeah. Monday.
All right. Let's take a break here because you may or may not be joining someone for something later.
I don't know.
How's that?
Awesome.
And we got Leanski coming up later, so let's go take a break here. Libby, this is your show.
Thank
Enjoy.
You.
Enjoy.
Thank
yes.
you.
Yeah. Sleep time's over. Take a break.
One, two. One, two.
Sleep time's over. We'll be right back. Sleep time's over is back with another banger.
And we're back. I'm going to be back to calm. We're still doing the Libby DeFreeze appreciation show, even though this is... That worked. I forgot about that sample. Thank you, Sky. So a couple of news and notes before we take over to our first guest here. Let's shout out for the coming weeks. Next week we've got Tasho
Pierce will be our guest.
Right, sake tasting.
Immerse, a.k.a. Akira 8, Humanakas. And he's also going to do a sake tasting. And I'm going to get him to try, maybe, yeah, he will, perform. Ooh, so we're going to have him perform the classic song, Honolulu. Libby, you've heard that song before? Mm-hmm. Honolulu, yeah. Great song. So we're going to have that. We're also going to have the host of PacWest TV, Wayne Coito. He's going to be on. We're going to talk baseball, but plus he also plays the bad guy in a lot of the Hawaii Five-0 shows.
Yeah, that's who you're mentioning.
He plays like the bank robber or like the sketchy guy. So he'll be there. And then we're taking a break from there. And then in September, we've got Marianne Ito. He's going to be on. Shout out, Marianne Ito. That's September. We also have Curbside Worldwide, you know, the conglomerate that's taken over this island.
You know, the death row of Hawaii.
Astro Guillotine, shout out. So we're going to have his president, the man, not Pro City, but we're going to have the guy. He's part of him. We have Mesmer will be on. He is the Curbside Worldwide president, I guess. CEO. I don't even know what they call these guys. Mm-hmm. They have all these titles. Millions of guys. I don't even know. The cabinet. I don't even know who these people are. So he's going to be on in September. But we have to highlight one more time, August 31st, Rocky Rivera in concert. Mm-hmm. DJ Rosa next door. Castle Park will be performing. Shout out, Omega 6. And tickets are still available. That's going to be you can buy that at buy tickets at Information or that Ube place that I was telling you about. You into the Ube, everyone? You guys?
I've never tried it.
Never tried to sky you to Ube?
The Ube place in Kalihi?
Yeah.
It's good. It's good.
Yeah, you into it? It's good? Okay.
It's good.
That's all right. All right. That doesn't sell it to me at all. Okay, so then we're going to have the next night will be September 1st, the Rosewood at House Supper Club. XL is going to be there. DJ Don, Titavite. Drama's going to be there. Shout out, nice. DJ Rosa. The main room, it's a big spot. They're going to have the Neo Soul Golden Era Hip Hop room.
Nice.
Which is like, let's take it back to 2002. So then, and then after that, 2 a.m., then, you know, all the old fuckers go home, and then we just bring in EDM and trap all night long. That's how it works. All right. So, Libby, I'm going to defer to you on this one because, as we know, this is your show. This is your baby. So I asked you, who would you want to have as your guest to talk to? Mm-hmm. And in like seconds, Leansky was the guy. So you immediately chose this gentleman, and we're going to learn a lot about him because this guy's got stories galore, right? So what was your reasoning for choosing right off the bat?
I think he's the epitome of hip hop. He's everywhere. He's DJing at every single place, even two times a night, and just dedicated to the cause.
Yep. So we're going to find out all about that. So let's bring him on in. Where is he? Leansky, let's go. One, two, three, pop it. Good choice here. The entrance music. Wow. Good job for having this on your laptop, Freeze. You know, this... You wouldn't expect this. Okay. Leansky, what's up, man? How you doing?
What's up?
Then we just put the mic... Oh, put him closer. Oh, yeah, you can bring the mic closer. Yeah. You can just pull the table.
You can take it off the thing.
Or you can even take it off. Yeah.
Nah, it's cool.
Don't hold it like how I was holding it earlier. Okay. Leansky, what's the latest, man? Because you... All that I know from what Libby... She basically told me the same situation. You're doing a million things. This I know. If we can somehow break down what is your schedule of things and events of all the stuff you do,
man,
how is that opening?
Man, I'm pretty busy. Kind of lucky, you know, to move out here. It's about to be my fourth year myself.
What's your anniversary?
It'll be in January.
Okay.
Oh, really?
Awesome. Yeah,
January of 2020.
Yeah, I moved here January first. On the 15th.
Wow. New Year's Day.
Yeah.
Unreal. We're going to have the Leansky of appreciation show at this point. Where'd January 1st.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
Where'd you move from?
I actually moved from Boston, Massachusetts.
And that's where you grew up?
I grew up in New York. I'm originally from New York. I was born in Brentwood, Long Island. I moved at a young age. I really didn't have too much family in Boston. Mm-hmm. My mom's and my father separated. And my mom's ended up moving to Boston. you know, we had no family, so we would go back and forth to New York because we had no family there. So, like, family started moving from New York, Dominican Republic, and Puerto Rico.
Right.
I'm half and half, half Puerto Rican, half Dominican.
And how did the whole hip-hop thing, the music thing, we couldn't even, let's go further with just the music. Mm-hmm. How did it engulf your life and take it to what it is today?
I mean, but, seen Eddie Murphy's coming out with a movie, but the first rap album I ever heard
was Dolemite.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Eddie Murphy's coming out with that movie, and I was like, oh, she had an album that was called Dirty Rap, and it was Dirty Rap.
Yeah, I had that album. My stepdad gave me that album.
All he talked about was like sex, having sex with women, and it was like crazy. But that was the first album I ever heard, and then it was Rapper's Delight was like the big song, but there was another song by a crew called Crash Crew out of New York, and that was the second song I heard, and then all the other songs started coming out.
Because as these parties, Treacherous Three, right? Cold Crush.
Was that era too? Yeah, that was. But they weren't really signed. They weren't really big at the time. Right. Like, they really got known from the movie Wild Style. That's where they really got their push. They really didn't sign to a big label. They kind of had Curtis Blow. Was like the bigger, like, you know, rapper that came out after Rapper's Delight was Curtis Blow. You know.
What's amazing is like they were funk parties, and the majority of the music was going to be that era, like going to be like the James Brown, going to be like that style. And then how would they interject the few records?
I think it was more like R&B music, Stephanie Mills, Luther Vandross. Like, it was a lot of artists that were coming out with like funk, Cameo, Zap, Funkadelic, you know, George Clinton,
Gap Band.
Yeah. So it was a lot of like that music that we would hear more at and then a few rap songs.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It would be a few rap songs, but it wasn't like you would hear a whole bunch of rap songs.
Right.
You
know? Right.
Did you ever freestyle?
No, I can't rap for nothing. I can't even try. You know, the craziest thing is I've been around like a lot of like crazy MCs. My brother was amazing. Like, he used to rap in Spanish and English. I really like took all the people. He inspired our whole neighborhood because he was just so amazing at everything. But then he turned to gangs and drugs, and then we all looked up to him. So we were like, oh shit, you know, like.
Yeah.
You know, so, but I was kind of like the mama's boy, you know what I'm saying? I was like, man, if, you know, I can't get into this. Like, my mom's would die, you know what I'm saying? I was like my mom's a single mother and struggling. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to stick with this. And I seen all the kids following him. And I ended up saying, you know what? I started taking the kids and taking them to like practice with me, you know what I'm saying? But he was like the one who was like really the... You know, he started as a New York puppeteer, then he started a group, which I got involved with one summer. I used to be into BMX. And one winter, after the summertime, I couldn't ride my bike no more, you know. So him and another guy, Sut, and this kid Mosby were like, you should just do the show with us. It was a talent show. I was like, what? Like, nah. So we practiced for a week. After that show... I ended up, we won the competition. It was a talent show. We ended up winning after that show. I sold my bike the next day. And it was over.
There you go.
It was a done deal. It was like that performance, like, sold it. I was like, oh.
I did it.
And it was crazy because, like, we had beat everybody and we came outside and it was like 1,000 people outside. And we had this big trophy and they were really trying to rob us for the trophy.
Oh, wow. Wow.
And everybody was so much energy, like just performing. It was so much energy, like performing, you know. And then when we came outside, it was so much energy, like that. I just fell in love with just that whole energy of everything happening, you know.
Because if not, you'd still be BMXing and be like doing those jumps over the dirt.
Yeah. I used to be into quarter pipes,
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Wow.
I was crazy on that.
No kidding. See, it could have been, you never know, the two different paths. You just never would know. Yeah.
And then from when he started getting into drugs and everything, we kind of like broke up. I started dancing with another group called MBT. And we used to just make money out in the street. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We met them at an audition, and then we ended up going to dance at the train station. They were like, "You want to go make money?" And making money back in our days was like selling drugs. And I was like, "Oh no!" They were like, "No, come with us." So we followed them. We followed them to the train station, and in like 10 minutes, it was like five of them. They made like $50 a piece. We were like, "We're in!" We jumped in. You know, my mom's is like a single mother. She really couldn't afford nothing.
Yep.
So, like 13, I was making like $250 a day.
Oh my gosh.
So we were like, there "Holy shit!" You know.
What year was this?
I can't tell. Yeah.
almost. I almost had you.
I can't tell you that.
Trying to beat you in there. Okay.
I don't remember.
Good. It was like, what song was on the radio? Broken Glass, yeah. Everywhere. Yeah.
Now, this is a little later. This is definitely a little later.
All right. We're going to own in on this. We're going to figure this out. Okay.
So from there,
we're definitely looking at in the 80s here, but what were we looking at? What's the next step here after the dance career? Where is the next to move here?
Yeah, here. You know, the craziest thing was I came here almost 11 years ago, and I just came. And sometimes, like, you don't realize, like, how the internet works. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes, like, the internet, back then it was MySpace. And I came, and I was just staying at Coalina when I first came here. Wow. So I was way on the west side 11 years ago. It was totally different over there.
Yes.
So I was like, man, like, well, you know, I was used to traveling, like, to Jamaica, Puerto Rico, Dominican Republic, yeah. Aruba, like that's where we came, like, you know, 10 hours, you know, like flight. We were like, holy shit. So I thought, like, I knew it was America, but, you know, staying out that way, it kind of reminded me of like Aruba. I really didn't think there was nothing going on. Like, Aruba has a little scene, but it's not a scene where you could do anything. So I put on MySpace, you know, I'm in Honolulu, trying to find out, you know, what's going on. In Oahu, I was like, in Oahu, I'm trying to find out what's going on. And then these kids, the 808 Breakers, actually, they actually hit me up, come do a workshop. And I'm like, what? A workshop? Who are these kids? Like,
right.
And when you're on vacation, like, that's all I ever did was dance. So I was like, should I go? I don't even think, I'm on vacation. Like, I'm trying to chill. Then I said, you know what? I'm going to go work with these kids.
Hey, all
and
right.
I went and I taught them a workshop. And then from there, after the workshop, they were like, you guys should do your events. I looked at them and was like, what? Because I used to do B-boy events and parties back home. And I used to have, like, sell like DVDs. But, you know, like I said, I'm 10 hours away. I'm
right.
Thinking like they don't know anything about me.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? They don't know who I am. So I'm like, what do you mean do events? So then they said, you should come. So I had drove into Kaka'ako, but I came from like the west side, cut through, like the GPS took us like some weird way. Actually, we had a map.
GPS?
Island. It wasn't
like circle. Was it 2002? What is this?
It was like a paper. It was like.
Yeah, you had a paper. You downloaded like from Yahoo. And like then you got that paper. Yeah, MapQuest.
MapQuest.
Yeah.
And we drove like, but the way we came, we didn't come through the city. We came like some weird way. So I didn't really get to see like downtown or nothing. I was like, what?
So where am I right now?
I was like, and it was in Kaka'ako at a it was in the, like in an alleyway or something, like some school. So we went.
Did you type in?
And they told us
MacWit.
Yeah. Yeah, it was
thinking you.
It was by it was a studio called Boogie Down. It just closed like last year. Boogie Down Productions.
In Kaka'ako.
Yeah,
oh.
It's by Ward, and I forgot where else, but it was like in the back somewhere. So we ended up going there, and from there we just went straight back. So the next day we came, and then we were like, holy shoot, we started seeing all the graffiti. Like, we drove through like the whole city, seeing the downtown. We were like, oh man, this is like a city. And then we started seeing graffiti, and then I was like, oh man. And then we knew friends who were doing stuff here, and then... We came back the next year, and the next year we ended up doing a show here because we do performances back home. Like, I used to do plays, all kind of stuff. And we booked the show in Boston, but they were coming to Hawaii with Run DMC. It was for the Sheraton Hotel. The Sheraton, it was like a whole big, they had like all the, and we ended up. I'm
trying to think of the year on this. Yeah,
this was a long time.
This is early 2000s, I think. or late 90s maybe.
No. This was like 10 years ago. This was like 10 years ago.
At Sheraton?
Yeah, but it was only for their workers. It was only for their workers.
Oh, wow.
So they booked us for the Sheraton in Boston.
Got it.
And then I told a lady out of the blue, oh, yeah, we're heading to Hawaii. So, and she was like, when are you going to be there? And we were like, oh, we're going to be there, you know, this date. She was like, well, we're doing a show in Hawaii, too. You want to perform there, too? And we were like, yeah. So we came for a week, and then we flew some of the members here. I always had, like, connections with, like, sneaker companies. I actually had this big company called Kamaloop, which we kind of, like, helped. Not start, but we kind of, like, helped promote, like, back home. They were from Boston. And they gave us, like, a bunch of money to come do a show. So I flew a bunch of people out. And I came to do the competition was you know, to fly some B-boys from Hawaii back. But then after we did that event, so we did the show with Run DMC that first week. And then we ended up the next week doing the B-boy battle here called United Styles. And that's how we actually brought the B-boys in. But the whole thing, when we did that competition, we weren't expecting B-boys to come from the mainland. We was only doing it for the B-boys. We only wanted to bring B-boys from Hawaii back to the States to, you know, the battle. And
so you see all that.
Then all of a sudden, you know, we didn't, you know, like I said, I forget, you know, how big it is because I don't think like that. And then it was like a whole bunch of B-boys from the mainland showed up. And we were like, oh, shit. Oh, man.
This is serious.
The B-boys actually... It was a good thing because there was some B-boys from Kauai called Pink Pebbles and some B-boys from Las Vegas who actually went head-to-head. And the B-boys from Las Vegas won. I was so mad because I was like, what is going on here? Like, I didn't really do it for them, you know. So
basically.
And then, you know, just coming in. Every time we did a B-boy event, we started doing parties after. Like, we would do the after party.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's how.
Any affiliation through the years with the whole, the classic, the Rocksteady crew?
They were a big inspiration. Rocksteady crew was a big inspiration to me, especially with Wild Style, because actually Flashdance was the first movie that made it cool for us to go out and really dance in the street.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, we weren't really, like, happy dancing in the street till, you know, Flashdance came out because they were dancing in the street. So we like, oh, shit, because we could dance in the street. People won't laugh at us because the movie was so big that we were able to, like, go out.
Well, B-Boy was Jennifer Beals' double. Wasn't that
Crazy
Legs? Was it Crazy Legs, right?
That's my homie. Yeah. That's a good friend.
Yeah. That's the legend. Yeah.
So the scene where Jennifer Beals does the backspin, that's Crazy Legs, right? Yeah. And
we'll figure it with that.
Yeah, he's a good friend of mine. Ken Swift was in. Actually,
Ken Swift, yep.
Which was, he was one of my biggest inspiration from... Wild Style, because that was the movie that actually educated all of us more on hip hop. Like,
that was the educational movie. Like, that's probably the
best. That's probably the best, like, hip hop.
Yeah.
You know,
and one of those sampled movies of all time.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
the clips,
I mean, every clip of
that, sound bites from that movie galore in rap albums. Yeah.
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 Yeah. The opening, the ending scene is always the classic, but that breakbeat.
Shout out Fab Five
Freddy. That's what hip hop was really about. Like, that was hip hop.
People don't look like, shout out Fab Five Freddy enough.
He directed that movie.
That was hip hop before hip hop.
Yeah. And then,
So you kept coming here and then decided to move here, or what?
Oh, I actually saw a sign. It wasn't even like that. Like, you know, I was doing a lot of things back home, and I came, and we would come for 3 weeks. So we started coming every year after that, maybe for like 7 years, doing events. And then I came and I saw a sign. And the first sign was like, it was a whole bunch of kids we met through the years. So I used to come and I would always come and give. Like, I had like all these sneaker companies that would, like, Reebok and Puma would give me like 200 pairs of sneakers. And I would come to the events and just give sneakers, give shirts. Kamaloop would give me like clothes and I would just give. We would never make money. B-boy events, you don't make money. But it was just to come and just do something here, to give back, just to come and do it. I never thought I was going to move here. And then I came probably like the sixth, seventh year, and I came and all the kids were like, I was just seeing people and they were like, you should just move here. When are you going to move here? I was like, what? You out of your mind? Like, I got things going on back home. Like, you're crazy. Like, like, you know, when you live in, like, doing what you love, it's like you don't really think, like, you're going to go anywhere. Like,
you got GPS just, like, sending you all over
your
the place.
Your whole network, everything is
right. You don't want to go to come to this island.
No.
The directions are always.
No, it wasn't even that. It's just, you know, you just were born in the East
of course,
Coast
yes.
all your life. You know, we've been to different places. Not like But it was, I just never thought about it. I was just like, what? Like, I'm not moving. You know, you just never think you're moving.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Especially when things are going fine. You know, you're like, things is like, your whole network is there. Mm-hmm. You don't think you're going to move, like, anywhere. Like, and then, so the first week, it was like every day for seven days straight. And it wasn't just me. My ex was there, too. And she was, like, listening to that shit. Like, and we were kind of, like, looking at each other like, yo, what the hell is going on? And, like, they for the whole week. And then the next week, we were staying in Waikiki. And then they, all these people were asking us where stuff was, where, like, stores, streets. And we were like, sorry, we're not from here. And people were saying, oh, you look like you're from here, or we thought you were from here. Just saying things like that. And we were like, but then we did stuff in Maui, too. And then the third week, we went to Maui.
Yeah.
And then we had some friends that actually, they're dancers out there, but they actually sing for the Lahaina old luau.
Oh, okay.
So they sing. Yeah. So they came over to our hotel room the first day we got there, and they were like, they came with a ukulele and like a 30 pack of beers. I don't drink. So I'm like, you know, like, I'm just chilling.
Sounds like Maui, yeah.
And they come over. They're like, yo, we want to come hang out. I didn't see it for like 2 years. And all of a sudden, they ended up singing like a bunch of like Hawaiian songs, R&B songs, and rap songs from like 8 o'clock at night to like 1 in the morning. But the whole time I was just like in shock mode. Like, it was just like they brainwashed me. I was just looking at them and they could sing. So it was like they were singing their asses off and rapping and
like singing.
So it was just like, holy shoot.
It was all the point.
So then, you know, after that, like, it was like 1 o'clock. I went to bed, and then the next day, me and her woke up. We were like, yo, we got to figure this out. There's a sign.
Yep.
And then we try to, like, figure out. We were like, man, we can't move here. Like, there's no way we could do it. Like, you know, we have too much going on back home. Like, we can't do it. So that was it. And then we came back for 2 more days here. Our flight left 2 more days, and we seen one of our friends, and we told him what happened in Maui. And he was just like, you got the Hawaii welcome. And we were like,
the island
what?
Calls you.
And that was it. We 10 and a half months we were here.
Wow.
Damn. 10 and a half months we were here. And the craziest thing, we went through just different changes in life. But I'm probably like, from leaving all that back home, I'm probably like the happiest person here now. Like,
wow.
Like, even though you could have like everything, you could have everything going on in your life. You can have everything. And you come to a place and you have nothing and just be happy.
You still know you're going to be all right. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. It's just like, I'm just like that, like happy. And then all of a sudden, like just after being here, just started working with so many different people, you know, and just rappers, DJs, like I just got involved in the community.
Yeah.
You know.
Were you stoked to find out about a sound shop? I'm sure.
Yeah, I was stoked about that. Like bumping into them was amazing. Sound shop was like crazy then. Just not even that. Just I built a lot of relationships here with other people. I've been probably here like maybe like 11 and a half years. So it was from that beginning coming here, it was always like building relationships. So I have a bunch of friends here, like friends. Yeah. I consider family. It's not even friends anymore.
No, it's amazing. And that's in relation to you choosing him to be your guest is because you've led similar paths as far as getting here and as far as building community that you guys have built. Just taking that leap, it's amazing and how we welcome you and how we bring you in and how you know all these guys.
Yeah.
It's an amazing thing.
Just learning. I mean, the main thing is learning. It's funny because, you know, I try to like, especially hanging out with Sound Shop, is like Punahele, you know, and even just bumping into like, you know, other people involved. It's like you get to learn more and more, and hanging out with a lot of the kids here, you get to learn. I mean, a lot of the kids, they don't really know too much, like the younger, because I attract all the younger kids, you know what I'm saying? But when I started hanging out with them, I really started like learning more and more, you know, about it. actually and being involved, because I Light Sleepers was a place I would always be at also.
Yep.
So learned a lot from Cavett too. Cavett,
yep.
You know, from the beginning, Cavett was a big, you know, supporter, and I was a big supporter of him too, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yep. He welcomed you in. Much like he does everyone. I mean, that's his nature.
Yeah, that's his nature.
But yes, you do have this fatherly vibe. Like, I need to ask you to talk to you about life or something. Just, you bring off this vibe. Speaking of vibes, yes. I need to ask you advice of something. I don't know what yet, but I need to ask you advice. So, yeah.
Should he do drugs?
I haven't done drugs in like 27 years.
Should Aaron try some?
No.
Is that a question? Okay, well. That would answer the question.
What about drinking? Like, when did you stop drinking?
I stopped everything. I stopped actually swearing, drinking.
I know. You say
smoking.
Holy shit. Wow. You say that.
Yeah, everything. Now, you see, I should swear every two words. You know.
We swear on this here, so in case you didn't know. So.
It's all right. You can swear, you can drink, everything. I don't care.
It's all
you
off
can smoke. Right, don't matter to me.
No rules.
All my friends smoke, drink, swear.
Right, right.
It's all good. Even my son swears. Everybody around me swears.
Oh, damn it.
Okay. And smokes and drinks, except you. And you.
Wow.
Yeah, we'll two figure. Swears, man.
We'll figure it out. I just swear. I got the swearing down.
Okay, that's cool.
The drinking's down, yeah.
You a swearaholic?
I'm going to have to say yes. I will admit. The first rule is to admit you have a problem. Yes, I swear a lot.
It's all right.
Okay.
Let the bomb.
See, I feel like I need to just unleash all of this, kind of like asking for questions. Libby, anything else you got?
So how about every time I see you DJ, you're like in your own world and you keep up with the times. What keeps you passionate as things change in hip hop?
You know, the craziest thing is like growing up, like you grow up in a certain era and then, you know, things die. So I grew up in an era where, like, hip hop was at the beginning. Actually, it was the second stage. You know what I'm saying? Because we're like second generation. But I always attracted all the younger kids. You know what I'm saying? So when you attract the younger kids, you got to go at their pace. You got to be able to adapt. And I think by me just being able to adapt with the younger generation, and, you know, actually hanging out with the younger generation actually made me look younger. You know what I'm saying? Never mind, like, stop drinking and everything. Like, I ain't gonna tell you my age, but you know, it just kept me young and kept me energized. So it's really about adapting. Because I mean, when Breaking died for a little while, we kind of had to adapt. We were making money off of dance, and that's all we wanted to do as the Floor Lords. Like, we didn't want to get a job. We were like, what? Like, what are you talking about? When the guy who ran our group, his name was Cisco, he came and was like, yo, they're not hiring us no more. They don't want us breaking anymore. So we were like, so what? What do they want us to do? They're hiring dancers. I said, so we're dancers. The lucky thing that we were dancers, like, we weren't just, because back then you just had break dancers and you had dancers. We did both. So we just went with the time. We started doing all the newer dances, and then we started going from like hip hop dance to like, it was like '80s, like late '80s. Then it became like freestyle house dance. Yeah, we went with the time, and then we went right back into. We started doing more shows and adding all that, and then they started like. I just was like, actually, the guy who ran our group. Ended up leaving, and I was like, yeah, we're going back to breaking. And then we just started breaking again and just doing shows. We would do like 15-minute shows, and people were just like energized back then, like, from it. And then Rocksteady, they started coming back, and the dance started coming back, but it was never died in Europe. So like videotapes and different things started showing up, you know, all over the place. And that's how it kept going.
Became big,
yeah, it became tapes. Big. Yeah, tapes started.
You see a lot of tapes here.
Started flowing with people DJing and rapping. Yeah. And I was really caught up in the DJ community too, and the rap community. I grew up like watching like Guru and Big Shug. Guru was originally from Boston. So like in the 80s, he would be on the bus. Him and Big Sugar would be on the bus. Like we would take buses everywhere, and they would be on the bus rapping. Edo G was like one of the Boston, like he was probably the biggest Boston rapper.
Yeah, he was like the original guy, Edo G and the Bulldogs. Yeah.
So those guys were like he was a breaker too, and he used to look up to me. So when they came out, you know, I used to hang out with him. Actually, in the 2006, me and Edo G, we did a lot of parties, like a lot of events, because he had all the hookups with all the old school like rappers,
right.
And I had like a lot of the sponsors, so I would get sponsors to pay, you know, for all these rappers to come up. I used to do a festival called Peace Hip Hop Festival, and I would bring like all kind of brought like Big Daddy Kane, MC Light, De La Soul, Rakim, Supernatural. So we built a lot of relationships with a lot of different people through him. Dead Prez, me and him started doing. We brought Raekwon, Nori. We did a bunch of different shows, like because he had connections, he can get all the rappers for cheap. So we, you know, his cousins is Teddy Ted and Special K, awesome too.
There you go. Yeah.
You know, what's the name of the Nice and Smooth?
Yeah.
Like, we would bring all those guys for mad cheap. You know, so
that's awesome, man.
I got to get into that world too.
So seeing all of this, and to not even talk about your age, but with all of the evolution, I'm not gonna go there. But just seeing the evolution of everything that has gone on in hip hop, then and now, what was the one era that you took you by surprise, or you took notice of more so than any of the other type of eras of how hip hop evolved, that you're like, wow, this is, it's really went there.
I think rap is like, so I have like, I'm just gonna name some rappers that kind of like, and then you could go through the eras of the change. So, Kumo D was like one of my favorite rappers. So I think like he changed the game in the early 80s. Mid 80s, I think Big Daddy Kane. Actually, did KRS-One come out after Big Daddy Kane?
Yeah, it was right around that same time.
Yeah,
like 86 was Criminal Minded.
Actually, no, 86, Rakim. Yeah. Rakim was like the big change. Rakim changed like the whole style.
It's always Kane and Rakim kind of was the shift.
So yeah, though it was Rakim. Rakim really shifted the game. Like he shifted the game. Everything started changing when Rakim came out. Right. He changed like the whole rap. Like the whole
moved
way
away
you
from
rap,
his rhyme scheme, yeah, the way he
the way
like,
you rap, yeah. Like he changed everything.
Yeah, the Run DMC era, then Rakim changed everything.
Yeah, Rakim changed everything. He changed like the way people rap, the way people even started thinking. You know what I'm saying? And then you have, you know, Big Daddy Kane, KRS-One, and then Nas. You know what I'm saying? Nas. I think my most favorite album is probably Tribe Called Quest's second album.
Theory.
Yeah.
That was what changed. So I think that era was like the era that changed everything for
me. 91, 92.
Yeah.
You weren't alone there. Everything. Yeah.
Like
that, was
that changed that album, like that was the first album like you could listen to the whole album. I mean, there were album before that, but all those songs were like, and there were a lot of albums that were good, but that album just really shifted.
Yeah,
everything.
It changed the game. Yeah,
you know, I mean, not that De La Soul and them had a lot of amazing albums too, but that album changed like everything.
It set a bar in hip hop.
You know, it set a bar. I mean, Nas is always consistent. I can say that. Like he always stayed consistent. Then you know, Jay-Z, like he changed, he shifted the game. But besides, like, I mean, because I feel like Biggie came in.
Yeah,
and you know, he died so young, only two albums in.
Yeah,
you know, he came, he made a big change. But I feel Jay-Z like really took it to the next level.
Yeah, and I mean, two rappers had runs like that. Jay-Z and Drake had like the longest runs.
Yeah, so it's
of
like
commercial,
you know,
success and respect.
I consider like, but Jay-Z's more hood.
Oh, for sure.
Like he comes from the hood.
But as far as like
decade-long run, 10-year run.
Yeah, I mean, I say that all the time. People don't like Drake, but I like Drake because I think he changed the game also, you know?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, he changed the game also. So I just believe, like, those eras. And as far as, like, just going with the time, it's really, you know, I grew up around a bunch of old-school bitter heads.
There's a
lot. I didn't want to be like
them. You're
hanging
out with two of them right here.
Thank you.
You know what I'm saying? So for me,
I hate those guys.
For me, that was like you know, that's why I would hang out with the younger generation, because they would be like all happy-go-lucky about what's going on, and I would go hang out with the older generation.
Right, because you're
complaining. I'm like, yo,
exactly.
Like, I ain't got no time to be complaining. You dudes ain't doing shit,
yes,
but complaining.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I need to do shit. I can't be around people.
Check out the crowd of this show. Sometimes I tell you, there's all we're all hanging out. Yes,
y'all
exactly.
Doing something though. You know, you're doing something.
But yes, you have to change with the times. You can't be that bitter old man. Yes, mm-hmm. You have to look at things evolve. 20 years from now, they're going to look at the stuff today and be like, what is this old fut stuff, right? It's going to be the same situation. It comes in cycles.
Trust me. I grew up in that era when
right? I mean,
everybody would be like, yo, what the hell is that? What's that shit you're
exactly,
listening to?
Right. They're going to say that about every era.
Right.
So you can't be that person that's just going to be stuck in 1994. You have to move on. It's 2019.
Yeah.
And
there's going to be someone like later, they'll be like, they don't make music like Gucci Mane anymore.
Exactly.
I mean, there's a lot of good music.
Why can't they be like Migos?
If you look for it now, like, I dig and dig for music. So
there's a
lot
ton
of
it
music.
Out there.
You just got to dig for it.
Exactly.
I mean, I definitely play some of the new stuff. I mean, I have a pretty good way of flipping it real quick. Whatever I don't like, you know, I throw it on for the kids a little bit. They're like, oh,
exactly.
Shit. Oh, shit. Bang.
Play the game. Exactly.
I just flip a couple of favorite freeze songs
knows.
Real quick.
Yes.
And that's it, you know?
You don't know. First course, get out quick.
I go back to some newer stuff that sounds, you know, a little bit like it, but it got more of a beat.
Right.
And then they still party. Like, oh, shit, he played our favorite shit good.
Yeah. See, that's why you have
that's
DJ
you
in front
them,
of your name, because you know how to play the game. You gotta cater, and
yeah,
you sneak them in, sneak them out. That's how you do it.
You gotta. You can't. If you don't do that, you will never stay working.
Correct. Exactly.
My thing is like, yo, how do I stay working doing what I love?
You gotta
doing what you love. You're not working.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And that's you gotta evolve as you do that to continue working.
Exactly.
You know, and
you know, I mean,
perfect strategy.
I do have a bunch of projects that I still work on. You know, we're actually doing 808's anniversary. They do a jam called Melting Pot on the 31st. I'll be DJing and judging for that event.
August 31st.
Where is that going to be?
It's going to be at UH. I forgot which one of the...
Okay.
One of the ballrooms over there, and then I started an event in Switzerland about maybe like 7 years ago. So I'm going to Switzerland. Actually, longer than that. What am I talking about? About 7 years ago.
You're doing a lot of stuff, man.
So we used to do it every year, and now we do it every couple of years.
Yeah.
I don't even like leaving this place, this island.
Going to Switzerland too, no less.
Yeah, Switzerland. I'll be leaving
get that bank account or something.
On the 8th.
Chocolate.
The event is on the 14th to the 15th. I'll be out there till the 18th.
Wow.
And then I go to California. So I travel. I do a bit of traveling. I'm a part of a big organization for the city.
I don't know how you do it. All this traveling. I mean, you're giving it fatherly advice, traveling. All these projects.
Listen.
Unbelievable.
My son gives me advice.
I probably, yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like, just grow in this game if you're not taking advice from the younger generation also.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
They actually help you, like, grow, you know?
Yes.
So I listen. I mean, I'm a student for life.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed. Know? Yes. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Student for life.
Libby, what any questions you got here before take a break?
No.
Come on,
thank
Libby,
you so
you're
much.
Supposed to say something.
No, I'm just really
Libby,
excited.
Please.
I mean, it's great to keep up with the times and new, but I know how much these two are into old school hip hop. And
yeah, not really.
Knowing that they're here on this island, you know, going to the record store all the time and all that was going on here at the same time,
man.
You're in the mix there. So it's cool to see their eyes light up when they talk to you.
I mean,
well,
I mean, that's what I love the most. You know what I'm saying? I love, like, the classics. But How you gonna stay irrelevant?
Can't play the future too, right?
How you gonna stay irrelevant? You know,
exactly.
You gotta go with the time.
You can always love what you love, but you have to evolve and change with the time.
And it always goes back. Like, you know, I play some new stuff and I bring it back.
Exactly.
I throw a little funkier new stuff and then I go back to the old school.
And you have the appreciation because you know all of this, and that's, and plus all these young guys are all looking up to you, and you have that advantage as well, where you can sneak in the new, sneak in the old. Once again, giving fatherly advice while DJing without even having to say anything.
Okay.
You go put in the
just
big
call me uncle. Just call me uncle.
I'm not saying that. I'm not even going to ask you how old,
because everybody thought I was their father.
DJ Dad is here. I mean, but it's just, that's how you change with the times, and that's the thing that people either do or don't. And it's a big growing demographic.
Yeah.
I don't even know what demographic you want to put it in. Maybe like 35 to 55. I don't know. But it's that group that holds on to things so dearly of the nostalgia. Do you evolve or do you stay stuck in where you're at and
complain?
Right. It's a big situation. So
a lot of people, like especially in the breaking community, they always say that, like all the kids always say, like, yo, it's like two of us that we just don't say. It's like my friend of mine's named K-Wan. He's from New York. And people always say, like, you two don't ever say shit. You know, like, people, we never hear y'all and shit. And I'm like, I ain't got no time for that shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, see me on the dance floor or DJing. Like, I really just don't got the time to be arguing.
Right. Exactly. There's no time. We don't have time for this.
Actually, a lot of the old OGs hate me because I never get caught up in this shit.
I love it.
They're like, yo, man, you heard what this dude did. I'm like, yeah, looking at him. Yeah. All right. I just start walking away.
Exactly. We're too tired.
Like, I don't even care. I'm like, let me go hang out with the younger guys. They're more fun.
Young people for the...
They're fun.
Sky, any questions before we take a break here?
Oh, yeah. I'm talking to him about Kumo D and...
Great, you do that. Do that off camera. Great. I'll go take a walk and I'll come back. All right.
Thank you so much.
I tell you, Libby,
great stories, man. Thank you.
Great stories.
Thank you for coming on.
Great culmination. January 1st. Is your four-year anniversary.
Yeah.
Wow. We just keep getting these four-year anniversaries. It's just like, we'll do the New Year's Day show. How about that?
Yeah.
God, Linsky, get ready for that. Don't fly out anywhere. All right, thank you very much, brother, for coming on. Let's take a break.
Don't you go anywhere, Sleep Time's Over, we'll be right back. Sleep Time's Over is back with another banger.
First time.
Shout out.
Here Rhyme.
Paradigm is here. Here we go.
That's what I'm talking about.
First time Paradigm. Yeah. Sorry. So what's the latest, man? What's going on with you?
Nothing. At all.
Well, you're honest.
I don't do shit. I watch TV with the sound off. Rest in peace, Mac Miller.
Wow.
That's all I do.
Well, you're being honest, which is great. That's what we applaud of. We applaud honesty here. And there's just some times where we're not doing shit, you know, and it happens, you know. But you were also handpicked, much like Linsky was, by the lovely Libby DeFreeze for the Libby DeFreeze Appreciation Show. Now, Libby, why... Of the millions of the MCs and the DJs and who not, did you choose this gentleman here?
Like he says, he always keeps it real. He always has a unique message. I'm inspired and humbled to know this person, and I get to call him my friend.
This is my friend.
Wow.
I try.
How about it?
That was great.
Shout out. Come on.
See how talented I am at doing nothing? When you do nothing.
And it led to that inspirational speech. Fantastic.
Just don't do anything.
But there is, let's count on something that I heard a rumor that you are doing, and it is something with the gentleman who is here, I believe, hopefully, qualify.
Oh, yeah.
I think so. He may be out with something, I don't know, but...
Yeah, I cooked up some beats for him, and he brought them to life, you know what I mean? And that was kind of a milestone for me, actually, because I've never produced anything for anyone like for a project entirely. So.
Oh, so this is your first project
without me rapping. Like,
wow.
Yeah. So it's yeah, means a lot to me. And then we already got the next one brewing. Yeah.
We got a tentative date on this.
That's tentative too. Yeah, my album, that project, you know, tentative.
That could be the name of it. We just could call. Like, that's what it's called, right?
I got another one with Creed too. Wherever he went, he left my life. I miss him a lot.
Oh, that sucks. Creed, damn it. He's in Waipahu right now. He might be at Target. Shout out Target. I don't know what he's doing at Target. So no, wait. I didn't want to reveal it.
Creed, why don't you call me no more, dog? You got my number, dog.
This is kind of we're keeping this emotional here.
We're troublemakers
you're
together.
You're being honest.
Bro.
We need to see this happen. Creed, hurry up. Screwing around. Okay.
Quali, where the fuck you at?
Do look outside the history, then the institution of shamanism there. Wait.
Walk alone, head down in my weed smoke. Refuse to commit to bullshit. They think my feet cold. I'm better alone. I don't like many people. I try to block y'all out like distractions at the free throwing. Anxiety gripping me. Relax, just breathe slow. Rolling up my weed loud. I got my eyes closed. I'm on that good high. Please don't blow mine. I'ma have a cow, a whole bovine. I just wanna get high, live my life like this. Nobody told me life would be like this. I didn't know that I would have to cry like this. I didn't know that I would want to die like this. I didn't know that I would stay alive like this. I didn't know the strength I had inside like this. Straight up from the ashes, I'ma rise like this. So put your fist up if you down to ride, right, quick. You did. Shout out to my man Paradigm.
I talked in the wine like it was the mic, but
I was very scared of the wine. I didn't know what was going on with that wine. Yeah. It was a lot of trigger, a lot of wires going on. Libby, where are you at here? We're gonna close this out. Libby, are you still here? She's somewhere. She Libby left. At Sundance? That would never happen. Wouldn't that be something if she was? Okay, Libby. Come on out. This concludes a first time ever doing an appreciation situation for yourself.
Thank you.
Your favorite guests are here. Your favorite handpicked choice. Shout out Paradigm right here.
Hi.
Tentative. Tentative.
Everything.
It's a great word. Qualified. Just coming out of nowhere. Boom. Performing. Alinsky still here. Yep. I tell you what. Great stuff.
Thank you so much.
And amazing 4 years for you. Mm-hmm. We can only look for years on ahead, you know?
Yeah. Thank
Shout out to everyone else. Sky Cameron, as always, is here. He's got the De La Soul shirt.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that later. DJ Freeze is here. Shout out Sakai and Company. Who else we got? Shout out the Lord back there. How can we forget the Lord?
Yeah.
KO on the boards.
Shout out to the
KO
Lord.
On the boards.
Burning my hand. That's fine. I smelled hair. Shout out to Aloha Beer Company. Shout out to the Highbrow Room. Shout out to, of course, the sound of this show would not have any sound. KO is here.
Yeah.
Libby, anybody else you want to shout out?
Shout out Russ. Shout out Jay. Shout out Woo! Chris. Naveed. Everybody.
Shout out Illmatic is here. Yes.
Yeah.
Sakai. They don't reveal names. Okay. We use monikers here. We use ats here. Okay. All right, we get out of here. We got a good night, everyone. Sleep time's over.
Thank you for listening to Sleep Time's Over. Time's over. No sleeping tonight.